name that tune, huh? I can name that tune in 30 minutes. Dark Star, Grateful Dead. In the 60s and 70s, while record companies were selling hits and records and objects, making and burning through rock stars and teen idols, the Grateful Dead were selling something else. Listen to that. The Dead created a world that was about community, I think it's fair to say, as much as it was about albums and music. And the spiritual leader of the Dead's kingdom of forever jams and grow-hold hipness was...
Jerry Garcia.
Jerry Garcia, who died 15 years ago. If anything, in those 15 years, the music industry, which could never beat the Dead and hated the idea of obsessed fans and bootleg trading, has more than ever joined the Dead. Listen to Jerry Garcia's voice.
We would all like to be able to live an uncluttered life, a simple life, a good life, you know, and like think about moving the whole human race ahead a step.
Well, Rich from New York is our listener and said that's what the band was about, improvisation, never playing a song the same way twice. It was an experiment which perfectionists forget about. The Grateful Dead played for free in the parks and streets of San Francisco, shunned record deals, so they were never a commercial success from the beginning. They achieved success on their own terms and have had to wait for it to catch up with them. In a very real sense, the world has caught up with the Grateful Dead in the 15 years since Jerry Garcia died. David Shank joins us once again. He's the author of Skeleton Key, A Dictionary for Deadheads, a book you wrote long before your latest hit, The Genius in All of Us. Right, David?
Indeed. This was my first book. I co-wrote it with a wonderful writer named Steve Silberman. He's out in California.
And if you are a deadhead, Skeleton Key is a must-read. And also joining us from Boston is Luke Stratton, 27-year-old guitar player in the band Mondo Gecko. Luke, good morning.
How's it going, guys?
Give me a riff, and I'll just sort of follow along with you, all right? So there's Luke in the studio, basically doing what the Dead began. You'd start with a riff and then just follow along and just see where it went. Luke, can you play us out of this segment later on?
Sure.
All right, great. So hold on there. We'll get back to you in a moment. David Shank, we can draw a solid line from the sort of bebop era of meandering improvisation straight through the Grateful Dead to the transformations that have taken place in music and in the content of all kinds on the internet, where everything's kind of a bootleg or a wiki or an improvisation. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, I definitely do. And I loved your introduction. I think you really got it. The Dead were full of nuances and contradictions, and a lot of people out there have nothing but the image of, you know, the tie-dyed, you know, freaks or whatever they call them, you know, following the Dead around and making it some kind of cult. But really, the Dead were the ultimate American music band. They brought together threads of just about every type of music that's ever been played. Jazz, as you mentioned, bluegrass, good old-fashioned rock and roll, country, and they weaved it into this improvisational experiment, which inspired fans and also an awful lot of bands to follow them.
Give me a greatest hit, David, because we want to make this about our listeners. They really started this conversation at thetakeaway.org. What's some of your greatest hits?
You mean song titles or
titles.
Moments and shows I've been to?
Let's start with song titles, since that's the most accessible to people.
Well, you played a few seconds from Dark Star, which is the absolute quintessential never-ending jam tune. It, basically, the song existed for them to play. There were so few words in the song, and it wouldn't be unusual in the early to mid-70s for the Dead to play that song for 30 minutes. And then to very slowly find their way into another tune, that second tune of which would never have been planned or discussed by anyone in the band. They just literally got on stage and found their way through the music and talked to each other through their playing. And everyone in the big hall would be equally surprised and also equally a part of this kind of energy that was going on.
But there was also lyrics, David Shank. Here's one of my favorites. Listen.
A box of rain will ease the pain and love and see you through.
Just from American Beauty, which trivia buffs know is the song that precedes a Friend of the Devil.
Well, the song's Box of Rain, and you're right, the Dead had beautiful lyrics. They had two first-rate lyricists, John Perry Barlow and Robert Hunter, Robert Hunter being the main dead lyricist, and worked with Jerry and also a little bit with Bob Weir, a lot with Bob Weir over the years. Yeah, it was a first-class operation from the very beginning, and the Dead did have their ideals, and they did pretty much stick to them. And it paid off musically and in so many other ways.
Well, I should mention that Cherry Garcia is still the number one bestseller for Ben and Jerry's ice cream, which kind of tells you about the legacy. But
which is a huge irony because he was a diabetic, too.
Right. But Luke Stratton, I got to ask you, you know, there's this idea that one of the reasons that Jerry Garcia has remained so important to American culture is not that he did the Madonna thing and kept reinventing himself, but that he remained consistent all the way from the 1960s to the day that he died. His message never changed.
Yeah, I definitely agree. The thing about Jerry Garcia for me is it's all about soul. I mean, it's not about rock and roll or ego. It's about getting up there and kind of letting the truth of the music kind of come through, both as a group and as an individual, you know. When the Dead was taking breaks, Jerry Garcia Band was on the road playing just as much. You know, all backstage, all Jerry did was play.
So you're the lead guitarist for Mondo Gecko, right? Correct. What other sort of contemporary jam bands do you think have been influenced by the Dead? Fish, of course.
Well,
is
I
a
mean,
big example.
Fish. You can't have a conversation today about jam bands without mentioning Fish. But they've kind of spawned this whole, I mean, both musically, but also, like you said, culturally, about the whole recording shows and you know, archive.org. You know, everything that Mondo Gecko does and all of our contemporary bands, we record all our shows and we put them all online for free, and that's. That wouldn't exist without the Dead. They're the first band to do that, and they kind of invented all the rules for that.
Listen to this tune here. Shank, that's a cover of Smoke Gets in Your Eyes. Is that a bootleg from your own collection?
It's not. That is actually one of the very last tunes that Jerry Garcia recorded. He recorded for the film Smoke. And what Luke said was just absolutely right on. You know, a lot of people, I'm sure, are rolling their eyes right now because all they know about Jerry and the Dead are, you know, these kind of stereotypes, and they associate, of course, heavily with certain drugs that they, you know, would never touch. But ultimately, this is all about human connection. And Jerry made a connection with millions and millions of people such that 15 years later, on the anniversary of his birth, August 1st, and the anniversary of his death today, people are emailing and calling each other all over the world and saying, I miss this guy. He really touched my life, and he improved my life, and he helped me live, enjoy life.
Well, that communication, that sense of community is very much what the internet is all about, what all forms of content have morphed into. It's a giant Dead concert we all are witnessing here. David Shank, correspondent for TheAtlantic.com, author of Skeleton Key, a dictionary for Deadheads, his latest book, The Genius in You. David, thanks so much for joining us. Luke, are you going to play us out?
Sure.
All right, go. Live in Boston, Massachusetts, at the studios of WGBH, is Luke Stratton, lead guitarist for the band Mondo Gecko, and a self-described 27-year-old Deadhead.
We want to know what your memory is of Jerry Garcia and the Dead.
This is Steve Wallace calling from Atlanta. My best Grateful Dead memory was the first and second time that I saw them at their last shows in Mountain View, California, before Jerry Garcia died. The first day, I hated it. I said, these guys can't sing. The music's all jangly. It goes on and on and on. Of course, I was only 16. The second day, suddenly I got it, and it was great. And I haven't stopped listening since. So good for you, Grateful Dead. We love you.
Give us your story or a favorite jam, maybe, or a mixtape. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm Celeste Headlee.
Thanks to Luke Stratton. I'm John Hockenberry. We get it. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.